Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Throw 'em up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Full of Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like a Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me today, my co-host, my stable mates, the Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish to my Adam Cole, Mr. Matt Scott and Grace Leader.
Wait, which one of us is Kyle O'Reilly?
Bobby, it's okay. It. You can be Kyle. I'll be Bobby. I'll have a nice little twirly mustache. That's
fine. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm honored. Honored fight to be cool, it. Kyle.
Cool Kyle.
Honored. Yeah. Yes. Look at that.
We're back.
How's it going? We're back. Who knew? I thought we'd be canceled. I always think we'd be canceled.
Oh, wait.
I mean, I thought maybe we'd be bought. You'd be bought up by another podcast, a larger podcast. Oh, I guess you are. I guess it would be worth it.
Larger podcast.
There's no larger podcast network. No.
Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
We are so happy to have you back again.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Still, I guess the last time I came. Last time I came was pre Royal Rumble. So, yeah.
It's the longest road imaginable. Apparently.
It's very long. Yeah. Very windy. Yeah.
Like a Route 66, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay. Boomer. The kids don't get that reference, Mari. Just letting you know from the kids don't drive, the young ones over here.
Don't drive. Yeah. They don't drive. What about all this van life? Like, isn't that a thing right now?
No, they have their Priuses. Van life.
Ooh.
Van life. Yes, that's like a thing. That's a whole segment of TikTok. I like one girl on there.
I'm trying to relate this back to wrestling, but
it's hard.
I think Van Wagner. I did it.
I can imagine Mick Foley. Yeah, Van Wagner.
Rob Van Dam. See, I can go all day.
Rob Van Dam.
I'm done. Oh my gosh, guys. We're glad to be back. It's been a wrestling week, to say the least. A lot of build up to a lot of different pay-per-views. And of course the grandest stage of them all, but
you
we have
that like any week almost. That's we're just very building up true. To the pay-per-views. We should make, you know what this reminds me, we should really try to make like a generic kind of evergreen episode where we're so vague that it could basically apply to any week.
I love when the good guy got one up on the bad guy, but then I hated when the bad guy's friends came in and hit him with the steel chair. That was bad.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Everything we've seen Styles. This week in wrestling, right that's there. A,
and Edge. And, yep, the things. We love
all
it.
Of the things.
Episode that was.
We have to start off with the like biggest announcement of the week.
Oh.
Tony Khan made the announcement on Dynamite this week that he acquired Ring of Honor Wrestling. Grace, how did you feel about this announcement?
Tony, he was so happy to buy Ring of Honor. Just like this little wrestling nerd, you know, in the ring being like, I bought Ring of Honor, everybody. I think it's interesting. I know Ring of Honor sort of late last year, maybe early this year, like released everybody from their contracts and like did a full reset. They have announced a pay-per-view coming up, I think, sort of a rebrand. But I think the thing that is good is, boy, is AEW like filled to the brim with people, you know, there's a lot of people on those shows. And so if he, you know, I'm not interested in like Ring of Honor invades AEW. Like I'm not, you know, he name dropped Shane during his announcement.
Yeah.
No Shane here.
Keep going.
But if he sort of is just in it to have like a little development company and they can sort of like send some of their talent there in more of like the way that they sort of were working with Impact before, where like Christian Cage went there and won the Impact Championship, and you can send guys there when they need maybe a little bit of a break from AEW. I'm excited by that. I think that is quite fun.
Yeah, I am too. I think this was a really good move for them. I just definitely didn't like the announcement. I'm just like, Tony, this is supposed to be your moment. Like, don't reference WWE. Because, I mean, no matter what, those who get it. The moment I heard this, I immediately knew and flashed back to where I was the night I watched Vince say that he bought out WCW, and then Shane come out and be like, no, I bought out WCW. That is one of my most vivid childhood memories and one of my favorite parts of wrestling ever in my entire life. So I did not need the reference. I didn't need the tongue-in-cheek reference, mostly because I feel like it just takes away the spotlight from AEW. Like, Shane was trending the rest of the night. Shane McMahon, who has not been on TV since the Royal Rumble, was trending because of what Tony Khan said, when Tony Khan and AEW should have been the ones trending in the spotlight. That was that's how I felt about it. Matt disagrees, it looks like.
No. Well, I mean, no, but not entirely. So just to like agree with you first of all, because there's a lot of great stuff about this announcement, I would say. But, you know, just to start, like, Tony Khan, I just need you to, like, put a comb through your hair, like, you know, put on a tie. Like, it didn't seem like he put an effort into his appearance to show up and give this big announcement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I always feel with Tony Khan, where I'm like, I love like the casual look, but I want him to like show up ready for the historic announcement. That's what I would say.
No, he feels he's not from Silicon Valley, but like the Silicon Valley, his like dad is actually the billionaire, you know, like he's just like the billionaire's case. So sort of like, I'm cool, you know, very like, if anybody watches Succession, like very like, you know, Kendall Roy-ish, you know, I'm cool with the kids. And to be fair, I do feel like he is this like huge wrestling fan. That's part of her like this, like he got like the biggest week in AEW history. It's like the CM Punk announcement was far bigger than this. Now, I know that like you always have to be like, this is the biggest week. Not like 6 months ago or whatever, you know, that wasn't the biggest, this is the biggest announcement. Like, it's not the biggest announcement ever. But it's only because like he's a super excited wrestling fan, you know, that he's like, I bought Ring of Honor. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That is cool, but it's like you have to, and I guess it's been my gripe with Tony Khan as a as the head of AEW. I don't want him to be like Vince McMahon, not at all. That's but I still also kind of need him to have some sort of feeling of like authority and like proper management. Does that make sense? Like Matt is saying, he needs to dress up and be in a suit. Yeah, exactly.
Because I have nothing.
Cute. This fan thing is cute.
Yeah.
But you also are a major representative of your company. So you cannot be on the Twitter and the social media with the trolls and with the IWC. It just doesn't work like that. At least not to me. Because again, like we talked about with the Swole situation, like that should have never happened. You know, that none of that should have happened. He should have never said any of that stuff. So it's kind of weird. It's like, he tries so much to be like, yes, I'm hip, I'm cool, I'm one of you guys, that for me, it just sometimes doesn't work. But
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, and I feel like to that point, like, obviously, you know what, like, and it has nothing to do with his hair, even what he's wearing. It's like the whole vibe that he gives off is not like the most, like, it can make the moment bigger, you know, if you decide, because we have seen him kind of come out in like the suit situation a little bit. And this is a historic moment, to Mari's point. Before getting to like the positives, to Mari's point, like, you don't want to reference other things in a clip that should be like legendary for 20 years to come, let's
exactly.
say. And but I will say, it's always amazing when people have jobs. It's amazing that, you know, people will apparently be able to like sign with ROH and build their careers. And I think last week we were talking about was Cesaro? Yes, Cesaro last week. And I think I even mentioned like it would be great to see him in an ROH. And so maybe we'll get that. And so I love that we have more opportunities for people, especially when AEW was getting to that wall of how could they hire more people when they already have a roster that they're not even like fully utilizing. And we're seeing some of those contracts lapse and end. And so maybe this is another opportunity and another spot for people to be featured. But I mean,
yeah, now people we'll are see. Wondering if Cody's going to be on ROH now.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think,
that'd be weird.
It would be weird. Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be a big deal.
You just buy it to give Cody a little, like, you want to actually do all the stuff you want to do here? Take Ring of
Honor. Yeah. And then I was just trying to make sure, like, when I was looking up, because I was trying to figure out, did he have the whole assets library? Because I do remember there was something to the effect where they were trying to figure out if the assets library was separate from the, like the branding and the actual wrestling group itself. But it looks like he bought, acquired all of the assets of Ring of Honor Wrestling Entertainment from Sinclair Broadcast Group. So yeah, it looks like he has the whole entire tape library, which is what is honestly, what is the biggest deal here. No matter what he does or doesn't do with ROH in ring, the biggest thing is to have access to that tape library, since it just has the beginning careers of basically every relevant wrestler right now. So
yeah
it's pretty awesome.
So it's a good move. Yeah, it's a very good
like,
move.
I love that ROH and that legacy will still be able to continue, and we'll see what they do with it. But like, I mean, you know, maybe the best comparison I could give, I know we're going to talk about Tommaso Ciampa and his theme song, and I feel like WWE has a way with different characters and different ways of like throwing certain things out, whether it's their name in the case of Walter aka Gunther and all of that. Like they're good at throwing a brand out and starting anew, which kind of throws the legacy in the trash. And I like that Tony Khan and AEW are kind of keeping that alive. They'll benefit from whatever goodwill ROH has had. And
that's smart. Let's talk about it right now. Might as well, because you brought it up. Because honestly, I understand that. I understand how frustrating that is in all of that. Mm-hmm. But honestly, at this point, I'm just like, there's no need to complain about it, because it's not a creative decision. It's all about the money. Whenever somebody gets a change in a theme song or a change in their name, it does not have anything to do with creative. Guys, sorry, it's because they can't license the right to either the name. Walter cannot be licensed. Keith Lee, you know, with the whole Bearcat or the theme song, because CFOs left years ago, at least two years ago at this point, whenever they make that main jump to the main roster, which is a different type of, you know, it's like it's a different type of tax bracket. Like, yeah, we'll pay CFOs or CFOs can be licensed for NXT. But the moment you go up to the main roster, they would have to rework a whole nother deal with it, and that they're no longer the in-house band. They will have to change the theme song. And it's annoying as all get out. It truly is. But at this point, it's like, why even care about it at this point? Because unfortunately, it's going to happen. And either you're going to like the theme song or you're not. You hope that wrestler does better. But gone are the days, because of what happened with Triple H's NXT, this is what unfortunately is going to be what it's going to be like. There will be no more Keith Lee, Samoa Joe's, Adam Cole's, like indie guys coming in and keeping their names, because people forget there was at one point when people, they weren't keeping their names. And then when that influx of the really good ones came in and they were actually letting them keep their names, everybody's like, oh my God, they're actually letting them keep their names now. And it's like, that's never going to happen again anymore. That Triple H way of doing it is gone, unfortunately. And now everything, if anybody comes to WWE, it's going to be a whole repackaging style deal. And it sucks. But at this point, I'm just so tired of complaining about it that I'm just like, we'll just see how the person does.
But here's like, I agree with you in the sense that like it, I could, so like Ciampa put out a whole statement of like, I like the theme song, blah, 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 so on and so forth, and kind of gave like a meaning around why he liked it, which I think is, you know, valid.
Really nice.
Important. Yeah. I encourage people to check it out and heartfelt. But my big problem is horrible timing for when they decide to change these things. Like,
sure.
You could do that when they're still in NXT, while they're still kind of building that brand, like gradual shift, as opposed to just like, oh, we're going to throw this person out and change what they are on the main roster. Like, that's the part I don't agree love. That. I don't
These
think
are just
that
remnants,
wide.
Though, right? Like, this will not have like, everybody who's debuting in NXT now will not. You won't come in and get your run as like, you know, Tommaso Ciampa. Like, he would have been, you know, renamed as soon as he came in. He would have, you know, unless like, whoever's making the music eventually goes away, you know, and they have to like do this whole thing again
all over again. Yeah,
this is sort of just like the, you know, Walter, you know, getting to have his run in NXT UK, and then he comes to NXT, and you know, they're like, well, no, we gotta have a new name. Like, I feel like kind of this is like the last of this era of all the guys, the indie guys who got to come in and keep their names.
And that's exactly what I meant. And it just makes I agree with that. Like, why didn't you just bill him as Gunther from the beginning? But I think it's probably because they thought he might just stay over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just like with Ciampa, we always thought he was never going to go to the main roster with someone, you know, some of the things that were said was he would never go to the main roster, but now he is. But I completely agree. Like, why don't we, can we get like a backstory or something?
Yeah.
And then it kind of rings false too now when people put out their, oh yeah, this was great. I love this. I like this because of this. And then once they get fired or something, 6 months from now, then they're like, oh no, I hated it. And I just said that. And it's just like,
Don't.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like just lose situation.
Yeah.
And people forget that they did this with the Viking Raiders. Like, a lot of people forget, but they were War Machine. You can't do War Machine. So they came over to NXT, and then they were the War Raiders on NXT for like God knows how long. Then they came up to the main roster, and they were the Viking Experience. And people were like, who the frick is this? And then they went at least back to the Viking Raiders. And so they've been the Viking Raiders for the past like 2 years.
This is going to be my point, though. Like, I am with the people that, like, oh gosh, they're naming him Gunther. Like, come on. Well, I don't think there's that much of Walter and Gunther, really. But, like, it's like we know him as Walter. Like, it's cool. You know, it's cool. It's like, you know, I've seen Walter, like, live. Like, you know, it's like an experience, right? Like, that's who he is. But I do also think, like, I remember, like, when people were mad, like, oh, man, they got rid of Antonio Cesaro's first name. Like, oh, he's just Cesaro.
Right.
Like, nobody, a year later, we will not remember and we won't really care. Like, maybe some people will, but for the most part, it's like, we sort of just live with what we have. I don't think I could, like, hum Ciampa's, like, theme song that he got changed. Like, the most memorable Ciampa theme song is when he didn't have music. Honestly, that's my favorite version.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that like we'll forget about it in a year, and it's, you know,
And
I still do I say that as a person who really liked Ciampa's heart attack theme a lot. I do agree. It sucks conceding like that, but it's at this point, it's like, I guess I'm trying to say, don't have the argument be like, oh my God, WWE, why would they do this? Like, this is bad creative. It's not creative. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I'm like, this has nothing to do with creative, y'all. It's pure corporate greed. Can we pull that?
And good for them. You know what? Keep that money, WWE, and hopefully put it toward things that we appreciate, you know? I don't know. Just timing could be better of it, but whatever. Enjoy it. I will also say, like, as a big pro wrestling theme song fan, we're not going to remember his previous theme. Like, in a year from now, no one's going to remember that.
I know. And it sucks because like I remember Bianca's first theme song. Yeah. I really liked it.
It was kind of similar to her her current theme song, actually.
Like, yeah, it was it was very of the time. Yeah, it was very it stood out to me because it was very like pop hip hop girl at the time. Like it felt different than the type of style of rap that they were doing. And then like when Watch Me Shine came, I was like, I truly was like, I liked the last one better. But now at this point, it's like, oh, I love Watch Me Shine, you know? So
it's great. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. But for some, I don't know why, I thought that original theme really fit her. I don't know if I thought it really fit her or if it just felt different and it felt like more deep rooted and connected to actual music at the time, like black music at the time. That's what I remember thinking of it. Like, oh my gosh, this kind of feels like it felt like akin to like a Little Kim singing for Trish Stratus. Like the person who did it was not famous, but it felt like a song, like an actual song I could listen to on the radio type thing.
Yeah. It was We Do It Better by Wordsmith and Mina Leone. Wouldn't have remembered that unless I just looked it up, but it was a good song.
It was like the very like sing rapping of the time. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like very like it. This is rap, but they're singing, and I really liked it. But you won't remember it. But I like somebody said in the Facebook Drop House Squadcast. This Royal Rumble truly showed me like something's up because it was taking me incredibly too long to figure out who was coming out in most of those matches. Mm-hmm. And something needs to be said about that because I think Matt, I think you did say, I think a few podcasts ago, we were talking about once CFOs left, it just feels like the music does feel very generic. So I'm not sticking up saying that the music is good. I'm just saying, first off, it's not a creative decision. It's the money decision. And second off, it sucks because I don't even know if they have any in-house band. If they do, it's just maybe like people who can like actually just play instruments, but can't put a song together. Like, I don't know. It feels like the songs have not been good lately.
I don't want to keep coming on here and be like, hey, you heard of AEW, but like, gosh, like Adam Cole's new themes, like the theme song he got in AEW is a banger. They like do this, like they didn't really get the full rights to like Bryan Danielson stuff, but they like at least added the Rise of the Valkyries at the beginning and they've like remixed it. They've like paid money for like Jon Moxley to have Wild Thing. Like that they are when like somebody's entrance music hits, they had like this like Battle Royalist where like, it was like 20 teams. And I'm like, how do they have so many tag teams? First of all, they're like, whatever. But like almost every team that comes out, you're like, oh yeah, this is that before the like letters come up on the like TitanTron, you know, on the big screen. You're like, oh yeah, it's them. Like it's, I don't know. I think they're doing well.
For me with AEW, it's not the songs themselves. It's the sound system for me. I think I'm pretty sure I said it on here. I swear I cannot hear.
You think they're using a boombox?
I often find that the announcers are really quiet on AEW. Like they'll be talking, I cannot hear.
It's something about the sound mixing. I think I've said it before. It's like I feel like I cannot hear it. Like I feel like it's almost like they're playing the music in the arena, but there's like they're trying to use the arena mics to pick it up as opposed to for the broadcast maybe overlaying the song.
On the
broadcast, like it's coming through. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's a good observation, but also such like a podcaster, like let me critique the audio.
The audio.
All right, if this is a thing that I would have never noticed and now I'm going to notice.
Yeah.
I apologize.
This is like when somebody points out like they cut the camera a lot on Raw, huh? And you're like, oh my God, I cannot see it now.
Yeah.
It's better for me because I'm like slightly like hard of hearing just because of my job. So it's constant subtitles on in my house and like everything blasted up to 11. So it's something I can really pinpoint with certain sounds and stuff like that. But yes, I agree. The theme songs are really good there. I just, like I said, I just feel like I can never hear it. It feels like an echo or something.
We could probably talk about this forever, but I will say like the one thing that, that bothers me about people's theme songs is when it changes how they walk out. Like, Liv Morgan, for instance, new theme song, faster pace. She moves faster. I like when they're consistent. Like it throws me off when they change their thing. You know,
Liv's new theme song is really good though. I like it.
At least they gave him. Isn't there something he shouts at the beginning of his? I feel like that's what they like to do. We're like generic rock songs, but we will add your catchphrase at the beginning of the
something like that. I don't think they published like the actual audio of it yet, so I don't think anyone's actually heard it clearly. Which is the other.
That's another thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do want to one day just break down the art of the theme song. It's like, what do you like about it? Do you like the sound effect, like a grass breaking sound effect? Do you like the? You think you know me? Like, do you like the talking piece before, or are you just a whole like riff? Get the Seth Rollins riff, then stop.
We'll do it.
It's a vibe.
We'll do a bracket. We'll do a bracket one day.
Ooh, a theme song bracket. Ooh,
it is March.
Wrestling theme song
bracket. It is March. Why didn't we think of this before we came on here? We could have done it right here today. But let's move on for a little bit more news before we get into the highlights. So Vince McMahon was on Pat McAfee's show this week. I only saw a few clips of it. They hyped it up like so much just for it to be like a regular interview, really. Like it was nothing like it wasn't like Tony Khan's big announcement or nothing like that. But I know Grace, you had some opinions on this interview.
Hey, I like my boss. Let me hype him up, you know. he pays me, so I will, you know. It was
name
not
on the check.
I mean, I should have known better than to get my hopes up. But Vince McMahon is one of the most elusive men in history. Like, to know actually what he's thinking about wrestling. Like, I hope he has written a book. You know, I hope he has, like, he's written down his thoughts about, like, actually what he thinks throughout the history of his career, right? Because, like, he's, like, one of the most famous men, and yet we know things about him, but you know, he's in control of the whole thing. He refuses to give up control. And so it's just like, this interview means nothing to, it was just like total softball questions, which is fine. I'm not expecting like Pat McAfee again. He's like an announcer on SmackDown. Like, are you going to hardball your boss? I'm not hardballing my boss. I'm not doing an interview where I'm like asking my boss actually tough questions. So,
you know,
I get it.
Yeah. But you have to like, I think that's the thing too, where it's really tough because it's not just hardballing your boss. Like that's one thing to be like, look, we're doing this interview. Like even giving a heads up of questions and being like, is it cool if I ask about this thing? Or like, cause you want to make it feel as like real as possible. You want it to add as much. You want people to be like, oh, that was a good interview. But this is Vince freaking McMahon. So you can't do that. He doesn't like when people sneeze in front of him. Could you imagine having a cold and then you're interviewing him and you're like, ooh, my nose.
Not Vince great. Is going to be on Pod Friends, right?
Oh, I'll.
right.
No spoilers.
Vince McMahon. It's so
if
funny.
If anyone has the connection, let me know.
Grace is right. Like, Vince is like the CIA and Beyonce. Like, you don't hear anything about it. And that's how you control the narrative. It's like, if you say nothing, if you give people access to nothing, they just assume you have the most power and control. And, you know, it truly is like, it's the elusive Chanteuse of it all. And the interview itself, it's whatever. It's cool. Like some people said, it actually made Vince like seem a little bit human, which I don't know. Again, in Vince's eyes, is that a good or a bad thing?
You know,
exactly. But it basically just set up that Pat was going to get a WrestleMania match, which is interesting.
But they could have done, you know, they did. I thought like when Adam Cole was on the show, right, and they set up the Adam Cole Pat McAfee thing. I kind of thought that what was coming Pat could sort of like, you know, be poking Vince for Vince to be like, lose it on him a bit to set up the rumored match was like Vince versus Pat, which I always assume was like Vince not actually going to wrestle like Austin Theory. It's like no DQ.
Yeah.
You're basically going to wrestle Austin Theory and then Vince can come in and try to like get the pin and whatever. I thought they could have done at least, you know, I would have been happier, I think, if it was like set it like they just kayfabed us, you know, like it was actually like setting up some story, you know, but no, just an interview.
Yeah.
I would love to have Vince on the podcast. Pat's.
Yeah,
on this podcast. I mean, yeah, We'll see. We'll work on it.
I really like Pat McAfee's show, period. Like, I think I love his energy as like an interviewer and stuff like that. So I wasn't expecting anything less. I think if the takeaway for me was this was just like any other interview he's done. You know what I'm saying? Cause I think he softballs basically all of his guests, if anything. So I was like, okay, cool. And then they set up on SmackDown that Pat will be facing Austin Theory, which I don't care about Austin Theory, but I want Pat McAfee to beat the crap out of him. That's for sure.
I will say too, like, I don't know. I really like, I've actually going back a year, and I don't know if we're talking about Austin Theory more later. Actually, I don't think we're talking about him.
We're
later,
not, so
which is probably ahead. A good thing. But anyway, mm-hmm. like the thing I appreciate is like, when he was with The Way, with Johnny Gargano, there were a lot of fun moments in terms of his performance of whatever that was, like goofy. I believe somebody on the podcast probably used the phrase, it wasn't me, but someone might have said himbo, like I did but anyway, like I like that he has like a personality as a muscle person slash I don't even know what his vibe is, but like if you're gonna, I like what they're doing with this character. It fits him. I'm glad it's not like a serious let's actually try to get him over in the main event spot. So I don't know. This is a weird match to like involve Vince in because it's obviously not a main event, but like, it's a storyline. And Theory's young. We're not getting a ton of those.
He's 24 years old. Like, he's really young. Like,
he's a third of Vince's age.
Wow. That's wild. I mean, Vince, they do like to do this every once in a while where like Vince, like, put, you know, places
slaps a sticker on somebody.
Yeah, they did this with McIntyre, and I feel like you know that did not pan out. It took McIntyre leaving and coming back to like be like, oh, Vince was totally right. But I mean, Theory, he kind of looks the part of like a guy Vince would like. So I get it. I see this. Yeah,
no, he does. I know it's probably like there's so many stories and funny things you hear, but it's probably like, oh man, I love his quads. You know, like that might have been the root of it. Yeah.
The whole entire root of Austin.
Those are the questions I would ask if I was interviewing him. I'd be like, look, what is it? What is it about Austin Theory that you like? And he'd just probably break down like that. So whatever.
Austin Theory does absolutely nothing for me, but good for him.
No, I know. And I think it's funny that he's like at in the center of this storyline. So we have to talk about him. One day you'll be a convert. You'll be in a Theory. I don't have, he doesn't have a fan name yet. Oh, whatever.
You'll buy into the Theory. Yeah.
That's it.
All right, that's it for the news. If you have any questions, you can always send any long form questions to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @WrestlingRehapUp and join the conversation using #WrestlingRehapUp on there. And of course, we have our unofficial Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast, where all of the RHAP wrestling folks congregate. So if you want to access to that, just let us know. We also have a podcast feed. Hopefully you are already subscribed. Go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe to us on all of your podcasting platforms. Or hopefully you're looking at our beautiful faces right now here on the YouTube. Rob Has a Podcast YouTube. Just go to Rob Has a Podcast YouTube and search Wrestling Rehap Up. And we're there. Also, because this is the longest plugs of the day. It is a great time to join the RHAP Patreon. It is the beginning of the month. So go to www.patreon.com/RHAP to become a patron of RHAP, where you can get exclusive access to a patron only podcast, 5 for 5s, events. Hopefully you already got your tickets to the next Know-It-All Live. If not, become a patron and get your chance at them. We'll take a quick break and come back with the highlights of the week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay. So this week, WWE finally started building their mid-card matches for WrestleMania. They're like, oh boy, wait, we have a whole card we have to fill. Maybe we should get on that.
So yeah, I think well, we got Brock versus Roman. Right. He's like 15 other matches.
Exactly. That's exactly how it felt. How I felt like it was like, yeah, job's done. Oh no. Oh, we still got to keep. Oh, okay, keep going. Oh, so the biggest thing coming out of Raw really is like Edge's heel turn. Right?
Mm-hmm. This was interesting.
I think you know him.
We were talking about it last week, but Edge issued an open challenge. I didn't know who he was talking to. Matt knew exactly who he was talking to.
Oh.
But it was AJ Styles. So we're getting AJ Styles versus Edge. Right before Edge decides to just go, you know, the ultimate opportunist route, you know, kick AJ in the nether regions. We saw Concerto. Yeah. Talking about, he said he doesn't want the tag team AJ. He wants the bulldog AJ. Matt, what did you think about this segment?
I felt like a little uncomfortable, probably like most of the crowd, because you're here, you're chanting for Edge, and then things just turn and you're like, you're going a little bit too far with this, bro. Like, actually, literally, my thought was like, you good, bro? Like, are you, is everything on track here? Like, I feel like they've been turning people a lot, like semi-turn. So the Seth Rollins thing was also on my mind here, where I'm like, is he a face right now or a heel or a face?
Right.
Like, they're on the fence there. Similarly, I wasn't expecting this with Edge. And then I also can't imagine them keeping him heel for that long, just with like where he is in the company. And so we'll see. But yeah, this segment actually, this went on a long time. Like, and I think it's probably great. It sets up a great match, but it did feel kind of like it was coming from out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I think, I mean, heel Edge is the best Edge, I think, in my opinion. I was not expecting, you know, this like late run Edge to get a heel turn. It's so hard. I think like, he's the guy who came back from like neck surgery. Like, it, you know, that feels like a long shot, but you know, WWE has kind of never, you know, I feel like, the post John Cena era of like, we're never turning him heel. Don't ask, stop asking, stop booing him. Just cheer him. They've turned a lot of people who I never thought would be like heel into bad guys. Like Sami Zayn is someone who like, when he showed up in NXT, I was like, he's never gonna be a bad guy. Bailey, this is never going to be a bad guy. Like, they are like perma baby faces for life. And I kind of felt like this like late run Edge, this late run that Edge is having was going to be the same thing. And then they kind of like shocked me. And I feel like, I wonder how much this is Edge and AJ Styles knowing they're going to get a match at WrestleMania and kind of deciding that this is going to be the most fun dynamic to have a match, is like to have AJ as like the flash, you know, he's not a young guy, but like to be the flashy baby face underdog in the story against this like grizzled, angry, mean Edge, might be the match that like Edge wants to put together for WrestleMania. That's more fun than AJ playing heel. And so, yeah, they've turned Edge into the bad guy here, which, you know, it's surprising, but I'm not mad at it. Like, I think it's kind of fun.
Right.
So.
I agree. Like, a lot of the stuff this week was kind of like, it felt ramshackled because, like, we have, what, 4 weeks or something to WrestleMania, less than 5 weeks. And it's just like, oh, y'all just throwing stuff at the wall, huh? But this out of all some of the stuff that we saw, I thought was done really well. And it kind of made sense in a sense, like Edge has been out here giving snarling promos for the past 2 weeks. So he's just basically saying like, I want somebody. So it's kind of like, okay, cool, sure, whatever. And I agree. I think having AJ flip and fly around like the baby face that he is when he does that stuff is the best course of action for these two. So I'm excited of all of like the just random thrown together matches. I think this is a really good, you know, possible show stealing match, even though I think the women are going to steal the show.
It's a dream mostly. Match. Right? Like, sure. We'd never get Edge versus AJ Styles.
Exactly. And I can't remember exactly who, but I mean, I'm sure multiple people have tweeted. I don't even want to try to give credit to this one, but someone even posted like Edge versus AJ Styles. Just think about that. And like, to your point, that's a dream match. It's a huge one. And, you know, I think that if we're going to look to two people to execute on a feud so well, like these are two people who will absolutely do it. The thing I also don't mind here when it comes to Edge just losing it is that he's always had those undertones as a character, even as a face. In the last couple of years, we've seen him kind of like go off at certain points. And, you know, he kind of had, I don't know, Mari, I think you mentioned like the snarling promo, but, you know, Edge kind of has like a little bit of like a, I don't know if it's like a bulldog or what, or a pit bull, but he has a little bit of like an animalistic thing within him, or like maybe it's the vampire of it all within him, but it's not surprising that he loses it once in a while. And I like that for him.
For it. Yeah, exactly. So like I
was
said,
hoping he was going to be
everything we've seen. I thought this was really good.
I will you say, said you were I hoping was, it was what? Hoping, look, in my fantasy booking world, I would have loved to see Edge versus Beth Phoenix. That would have been a good match for Mania. See them go head to head.
Yeah.
I don't know about
keep
that.
It in the family.
Next year.
But I also think, does anybody think it's kind of weird that that they might, or I don't know if it's weird or scary, one of the two, but it feels like they, I mean, we know Brock does not work every night. I mean, duh. But it definitely feels like they are preparing Raw to kind of be championless. It did. Was I the only one that kind of got this feeling from this episode?
I feel like you've been thinking about that for a while. With I mean, the unification stuff.
The moment they said unification, I'm just like, I'm having like just traumatic flashbacks.
But yeah, I mean, where's the where's the championship here? You know?
Yeah, I can see that. I think it feels like at the moment they're more likely to try and appease Fox than they are USA. But I definitely see the champion floating between the two. But no matter who wins, it doesn't feel like, yeah, Brock's making many appearances to Raw.
I hate it.
Kind of neither is Roman, maybe. So I don't know.
And so, and I'm assuming people think Brock is going to win. So the worst case is if Brock wins and then disappears with both championships. I'm getting upset.
Oh no, Mari, no, come back, Mari, no.
I don't know. They certainly have loved having him win recently.
What if? I don't know what's going to happen. I will say, I mean, they wouldn't be championless. It would just be different than what they've done because they would still have the women's champion. I wonder if they could like build that up enough where that champion, whoever it is after WrestleMania, is the main event, is the star. And then maybe we won't miss the fact that there's not the male champion there, which I mean, sucks for the men's division, but I'm not really mad at that if they book that the right way.
That's actually a great point, and we might as well kind of just segue into that, because the Raw women's division really did get a chance to shine this week, because Becky and Bianca are set. They're set in stone. However, we did get this match where it's Bianca, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan versus Becky Lynch, Doudrop, and Nikki A.S.H. And this is the same six people that we've been seeing consistently on the show, because honestly, that Raw women's division is really good. The problem is we keep seeing them kind of go up of different iterations of each other, but this match was really good. And it makes me, when Matt said that, it made me think, like, this women's division, especially since I swear we never see the SmackDown one, this women's division could carry a show. No, I can't wait. I truly cannot wait till after WrestleMania is over to see what the next direction is for all of them. And I think that that's a good point. If we don't have the male champion, grace of God, let's hope that they then push the women. But, you know, maybe they won't. Maybe it's just more Seth and KO.
I'm not getting my hopes up because this is WWE, right. But that would be great. It'd be fun.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be really cool. So that was such a good match too. It was just like, and they've been referencing it all week, but Becky started out by, she kept messing with Bianca's hair. So finally Bianca whipped her so many times on her midsection with the braid, and it left so many scars on Becky. She was still talking about it yesterday, and it's just a great way to build towards their match too.
I thought we were going to see just her.
It's on Instagram. Yeah, but it was really funny. And I love how, and so Becky was complaining about the scars. Then Bianca wore her Don't Touch My Hair shirt. And that's then great. Becky under that put on like a white shirt that I swear it looked like she just took marker to it and said, it said ban the braid or something like that, which was funny, but also people are like, hey Becky, you're getting close. You're getting a little close.
Ban the braid. I saw a lot of people tweeting that even before she like on Monday night, there were people who were like, they should make Bianca cut her hair. Like,
no, like
hair versus hair match.
Yeah.
Oh, my
those
God,
scars no. though. Could we talk about the scars for a second?
Wow.
I always joke about how, like, whenever like we're watching wrestling, and it's like, I want it to look real, but I don't want it to actually be real. Like,
exactly.
That looks like it hurts a lot. Don't do that. It hurts.
Zooming in on, like, I was trying to figure out, like, how real these scars are.
They look worse. They look worse on, Becky posted a picture of Rue, her, and Seth on Friday. And it looked even worse than it did the night it actually happened. I was like, wow.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I hope that she's okay. those are not cute scars. But also, I mean, Becky did not get hit that much in her midsection. So there are some shenanigans here.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
So there's like one scar that's right on her rib cage almost. Mm-hmm. And like kind of, it was almost under the, like, it's almost like under her gear. And then she sort of was like pulling it up as she was selling a little bit. And so I think that scar might have been there already. I don't know how. But to me, I was like, how does she have those scars already? I don't know.
I don't know. Conspiracy. And I don't want to volunteer to see how you make those scars. If it's continuing, I'm not volunteering for that.
I know.
They happen quick. You've seen like, when they chop each other or hit them with like kendo sticks. Like, those scars happen fast. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and again, more Becky, and by the way, she's tweeted these pictures out, post them on Instagram, so you could check them out. I think I need to zoom in on the scars for the actor.
She got her good that one good time there.
Yeah, we're really
if you're watching us on YouTube, we're showing.
You really need to.
Yeah,
we're like Becky staring at her mid.
All right, this might be bordering on inappropriate now.
Like content warning.
right,
flagged, removed from YouTube.
Yeah,
exactly. So, speaking of which, let's get into the curious case of KO and Seth Rollins. Like, I only say that because, so we opened with like the Kevin Owens show, right? And then of course he had like Seth on it, and they're talking about they're coming for the tag team belts. And this was great because I love Kevin Owens. Seth is just so over the freaking top right now. The both of them are over the top to the point where I'm like, I can't trust this pairing. Like, Kevin Owens has turned on way too many of his best friends for me to trust anything that's happening right now. So I'm always kind of just kind of tense in my seat. Like, what is happening? But they basically told Alpha Academy they're coming for their belts, which is just kind of weird because Alpha Academy is kind of still in that feud with RK-Bro. So I'm just like, is this leading to a multi-man? Like, what's going to happen here?
You know, I was wondering, I wonder if they do, they put one of the matches on night one and then the winners fight one of the other teams on night two. Could flesh out the card a bit. See, so like, yeah.
That would make sense. And didn't they do that with the women's? They did that with the women's match last year.
Yeah. Because we were pissed off. Yeah. After the first night. And
well, that was also
the Battle Royale? No, what was that last year?
No, they had like a four-way women's tag match or something like that. All I remember from that is that it rained. So like Mandy Rose was actually a few of them.
Natalya and Tamina won.
And
they lost to Nia Jax and Shayna the next night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When we thought that it would have been, like the storyline going into it was like, who was it, like Lana or somebody, or somebody else would have made more sense.
And Naomi, wasn't it?
Naomi, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I'm sure we said,
Yeah, but they could do that. That's a great point. Maybe a tag team triple threat because the Street Profits went up against RK-Bro later on that night, I believe. So maybe a triple threat tag team match and then winners face Alpha Academy that next night or something
triple
like that.
Threat, maybe. Or maybe
Profits, RK-Bro.
The biggest match is Rollins and Owens versus RK-Bro.
That's what I thought.
So do you have like, you know, like the Street or the Gable Academy like lose to one of those teams, the Street Profits lose to one of those teams on night one, then those two teams face off on night two or something? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but the Street Profits beat RK-Bro on Raw this week. So
right. So do you do like a two tag team matches on night one? It's a kind of like a mini tournament.
Mini tournament. Okay.
With the finals being Rollins and Owens versus RK-Bro on night two.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, there's the whole thing too. I don't know where we are in terms of the rumors of Stone Cold Steve Austin being on the card, but there's the whole thing about Kevin Owens and Stone Cold. This segment was also a little like kind of confusing because Rollins was a face here, I think. At least people were cheering him like he was a face.
Is he?
And then KO was getting or I don't know. It like there. I'm not sure who is what anymore right now. What?
Yeah, especially with those. Two.
But I feel like there was like I don't know. I can't keep up right now.
I
kind of
feel
like trying to do.
Rollins is. They're sort of like doing the thing where like he's the bad guy, but people like him, so just let that lean into it
naturally. Yeah,
maybe that's it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and actually the thought that crossed my mind even watching Raw was that maybe we're leading to a breakup because the like KO really hates Texas and he just who could blame him? But also, you know, he's just going in that direction and Seth is not going all the way there, and so maybe that, like, I don't know, maybe KO's on the verge of insanity and like won't you know, Seth's gonna kind of peace out,
but
and
if we don't
lead the Steve Austin thing, I don't know.
But that's the thing, if Seth pieces out here, where does that leave Seth? Because they also announced that the Andre the Giant Battle Royal is not happening this season. this WrestleMania, but the women's are, and that's what I meant to mention on the women's segment as well. Like the women are I think the main reason why the women are still having their battle royal is because of the Raw women's division. I think one of them will probably win it. But where does that leave Seth, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Seth and KO are not together going for the tag belt at WrestleMania, then what happens with Seth? Seth's not missing WrestleMania. If they put Drew and freaking Happy Corbin on the card, Seth has to find a place too. You know,
he could walk Becky down to the ring.
Stop.
Oh, Veer is coming.
Still,
maybe Veer versus Seth Rollins.
Yes, you know.
I'm just kidding. Maybe do they slot Seth into this Priest Balor feud? Does it become like a triple threat for the U.S. title? I just don't see anybody else who's not locked up in something if KO is going to fight Stone Cold Steve Austin. Almos is like the probably the only name who's like not doing something who might have a match. That's it, really.
But Stone Cold, like the whole thing too, I can't believe that Stone Cold Steve Austin would have a match at Mania. Like, we've seen him get his little segment.
No build like this, yeah.
With no build.
Thing has always said he would only come back if, like, the story was good.
Well,
you have to assume he's been offered more money than he, you know, Saudi Arabia, they have a lot of money, you know? Like, it feels like they could have offered him more money already by now. So
is the Madison Square Garden show is tonight, right? Or it's on
this
Saturday,
weekend,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this weekend?
Yeah. I mean, by the time that this show goes up, it'll probably have happened.
Yeah.
Are they airing that anywhere? Or is that just like, because sometimes they, I don't know.
I think they've done some of those like, it's a network special, but they haven't done one in a very long time.
Right. And if they do, it is normally MSG, but.
Oh, tonight is this is where Brock has to defend at MSG. So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, it'll be on their social media. Who he's defending against? Yeah.
Who? Is it Bobby Lashley?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
He is fighting Bobby Lashley.
They announced it. I just feel like they kind of mentioned it in passing. But yeah, Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley is the other name that I thought he was out for WrestleMania. But Bobby Lashley is the other name who is not tied up in anything. Who could do something.
I don't know.
Man.
Seth versus Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I wish we had like more right now to get excited about for Mania. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
What is even happening on that?
This
show?
Is why
they do have some solid stuff like that's confirmed, but I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like there are years where the story is so exciting that WrestleMania happens and it's like kind of like a letdown. Like it's very rare that like there's two where like the story and the matches that they're like putting together, you're like, I'm so freaking excited for this. And it also lives up to your expectations. I feel like rare.
Bianca.
That's Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30. Like,
of course.
Like, there's like the moments where it happens. But I feel like there have been these WrestleManias where you're like, I'm not really excited about this. And you watch the show and like, that was really, really good. I feel like one where Rollins cashes in felt like that. Was that WrestleMania play button? Where it was like, I'm not excited about any of this. And then the show was like, unbelievable.
The show was phenomenal. That was probably my favorite modern WrestleMania, to be quite honest. Like within the last, like from top to bottom, I would definitely say that was my favorite show. I think so. Top to bottom, every match, I think so.
No, I'm always so bad at remembering which WrestleMania is which, and don't ask me what number WrestleMania
was. That was the year after.
I don't know.
That was after New Orleans. That's only a year after.
It was. Yeah.
Exactly. But that has have Triple H and Sting. You have Cena and Rusev coming out in the big tank.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And Bray Wyatt.
And this was Ronda and Rock got their moment too.
Yep.
And then Seth losing to Randy Orton in the beginning and then coming back out to cash. I mean, I think that was, to be quite honest, that was the first WrestleMania we had watched coming back into it. Like that was when I came back into it and I was like, oh my gosh. And that's what made me like stay with it like ever since. Mm-hmm. But like, everything else, it's picking and choosing. I think WrestleMania 35 was pretty good as well, like with the Kofi win. Like, that was another time where the storyline and the payout was just perfect. Kofi and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seth beating Brock in the opener and all that. Yeah. But the women, you know, the women's match didn't do it for me. But I actually like that WrestleMania. And yeah, it's really hard for me the last like six WrestleManias since, you know, Sasha's she's Duffied it at WrestleMania. She's never won at WrestleMania. So whenever the Sasha match happens, yeah, and she loses, it kind of just takes the wind out of the sail for me.
Favorite things though about like, I like the streaks in the past. I remember last year we were talking about this and you were, I think you were convinced that Sasha was winning at Mania. And
no,
I was not.
No. What are you talking about?
I don't know what it was. We talked about this though, where I was like, it wasn't that. I didn't want Sasha to win because I like the fact that she has a losing streak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe
I was like, Bianca deserves to win and Bianca should win, but it will suck because Sasha will be continually to be undefeated. But that story, then just, it's kind of like this too. Like, if Bianca loses to Becky at WrestleMania, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to be very distraught.
It could happen. We know that. Exactly.
I know it can happen. That's why I'm mentally preparing.
That's why we're taking a month off after Mania.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. How do we get on this subject, Lord? Oh, we were talking about.
By the way, just
basically the tag team titles.
Yeah,
basically.
The tag team titles that nobody cares about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so we had the Kevin Owens show, and then we had Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens versus Alpha Academy later on in the night. Again, all of the highlights that we're talking about can be found in a handy dandy playlist, either in the show notes or in the podcast description. I forgot to say that earlier, so now I'm saying it again. But we have to go into WWE remembering that they had mid-card champions as well. They're like, oh, wait, we have additional belts. So Finn. I know. So we had Finn versus Damian Priest. Damian Priest has been the United States champion. Like, how long he's been the United States champion? Has to be. How long has it been?
He won it in August. He won it at SummerSlam.
That's what I thought. I was like, it has to be at least 6 months at this point. They have not done a smidgen of anything with Priest in that whole entire time, which is so unfortunate because
they really haven't.
Because truly, WWE and people constantly talk about like trying to find the next Rey Mysterio when Rey Mysterio is right here, or the next Eddie Guerrero, and like Damian Priest being like, you know, Puerto Rican and being like just the perfect specimen of a wrestler, being very charismatic, you know, being Vince's type, and then they get nothing for him, and it's just very annoying. I do like that they have, I mean, we have to acknowledge that over the past few months he's been having kind of like this slow build turn, which is great, but if it's not consistent, then, you know, who truly cares? But going into this Finn match, I thought this was going to be a great matchup, but taking the belt off of Priest so soon after he said, I've been basically going up against nothing but chumps. Now I want a WrestleMania caliber opponent. He's basically saying he's never had a WrestleMania caliber opponent. He then gets a WrestleMania caliber opponent and loses immediately. So to me, that tells me that he's not a good wrestler. Psychologically, you're trying to tell me that Damian Priest isn't good. You know what I'm saying? Like, do they think these things all the way through? And I only say that because I feel like he should have defended against Finn and cheated. Like, he should have just completed the whole thing. But no, they waited for him to attack afterwards. It's just like, where is the logic? Am I off base here, Matt?
No.
Long pause.
I have to consider it because it's a good, you bring up a good point there. I would also say it, I mean, anytime you're a month away from WrestleMania and then change the champion, like, that's an, don't think it's not great.
Yeah.
Not great. Not
that's
great.
Bad creative.
But bad, not the best. But I will say, I wonder, I kind of wonder if they wanted Bad Bunny somewhere around this match and around WrestleMania. I mean, actually, let me rephrase that. I'm sure that they would have wanted Bad Bunny if Bad Bunny was available for this. I mean, it could have been interesting even to get a Bad Bunny Damian Priest thing. We just saw Bad Bunny at the Rumble. Doesn't seem like he's going to be back for Mania. Maybe he's busy touring or something like that. But that to me would have been like a compelling story here. Finn, he's great, but like this is so random. And he's also been like, he's taken time off, he's been on, you know, we've gotten both. And so there's just not momentum around either of these people, unfortunately.
I agree, but they did. Derek in Jabba Squadcast said, like, when Finn came out on Raw, when he was there, like, last week, that the place, like, lost its lid and stuff like that. So
I love Finn Balor so yeah, I mean, much. So, like, Finn I Balor, was excited yeah. to hear that he won. Yeah.
And I'm not even mad that he won, right? Like, I think that it's a nice reset.
Why didn't he win at WrestleMania?
Well, but, yeah, that's a good point. And I think it's kind of confusing because you're like, it clearly seems like this is just going to lead to him defending at Mania and then keeping the championship. And then
right.
What does that lead to?
What does that do? Like, why didn't we
storytelling?
Why didn't we get Damian Priest realizing that Finn is getting the upper hand and then cheating and disqualifying himself? Like, it's right there. And then build for this at WrestleMania, have Finn win at WrestleMania. Like, I think it's so, like, it pisses me off when babyfaces win a month before WrestleMania. Like, what are we doing here? It's almost akin to when Bayley beat Charlotte for the title that won WrestleMania. The random, what was it, like a random Raw? I don't even think it was that Fastlane pay-per-view. It was just a random... It was the Fastlane pay-per-view that she won it, because at that point they were touting Becky. They're touting Charlotte has never been pinned on a pay-per-view. So they let her pin her on that Fastlane because I guess they didn't want her pinned on WrestleMania. Something to that effect. But I just think, I don't know, I don't understand this here, but the two of them work really well together. I'm sorry, Grace.
I mean, I don't even know if I want Damian Priest to cheat to win, because he's humongous dude. He's so big. And like, you know, I think he is up there for maybe one of the worst pre-WWE names of all time, which was Punishment Martinez.
But okay, no.
What?
I will not have that disrespect. Punishment Martinez is a great name. And
sure.
Back to us ranting about name changes.
Yeah. But like, you know, he's a big dude, cool dude. I feel like the attack on Balor after the match does work. I think what you could have done instead of having him lose because he cheats is just have him like beat the crap out of Finn so he doesn't have to he doesn't have to fight him, you know, like he's just like this, like, you know, win at all costs, but like not actually have to even win. He doesn't have to fight him, you know.
That would have been cool.
Is like where maybe I would go so that he's not I don't really see him as like a Weasley cheating. I guess there's different ways to cheat in the match and win, but so maybe I'm saying the exact same thing. I'm like happy that Finn won because I'm like a Finn fan, but like a Finn fan. But yeah, I think this doesn't do a lot to me for Damian Priest, at least the way it happens. I like the moment that he snaps. I think a heel turn for Damian Priest could be worth. I was surprised when he came up and he was a babyface. So
So it makes you think, I'm sorry, Matt, it's like, so are we going to continue with this Damian Priest and Finn Balor, or did they do this as a cheap way to move the belt onto Finn Balor, and then maybe even Finn Balor moves on to somebody like a bigger name at WrestleMania? I feel like, I don't know which is worse. Like, I truly
this felt like this is setting up the rematch, but
but it's the rematch at WrestleMania?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hope. Well, yes, I assume. Right, yeah. Me too. And I think, you know, the only thing that I just want to mention about this segment is that it's strange to me that they were, you know, kind of like standing around for so long after the match, after the win, because normally it's like, I won my championship, I'm going. That was the thing. Like when do we ever see anyone? We never see them hanging out after they win the championship. Like, okay, now I'm going to talk with the person who lost and, you know, raise their hand. You know, sometimes we see that, but passing the torch moment. But this, that was odd. Like the moment that I saw them in the ring after, like, I think it was pretty, it had to end in a beatdown of some sort. And, but yeah, Finn is amazing. He deserves better, though, in my mind, in terms of stories. He's so over.
He's very over. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also ended up going over the announce table. Thanks to Punishment Martinez.
I love a good razor's edge.
Yeah, it works for him. He's a big dude, too.
I loved when Roman did it. When Roman used to do it, loved it. All right. So what do we have next?
I mean, there's
from
stuff
one mid card title change to another one.
I don't know. Wait, are we talking about Raw?
God's
still?
Green Earth. Know. No, like we have to move over to SmackDown because why is Ricochet the new Intercontinental Champion? Like, I am.
Because Johnny Knoxville is going to beat Sami Zayn, and they don't want Johnny Knoxville. They don't want Sami Zayn to be the Intercontinental Champion when he loses.
That makes sense. Yeah, I did realize that by the end of the night.
I got excited.
Take it off of Nakamura.
Like, I got excited for a minute when I was like, ooh, could we get like, you know, Ricochet like helming the, you know, the WrestleMania ladder match for the Intercontinental title could be fun. I just don't know who there is, but yeah.
That's what I want. Like, if you're going to get like, if you're going to do this far down the rabbit hole and you have no significant build for your mid-card title, hang that hoe up and have people trying to get at it. Like, honestly. Like,
well, they got Shinsuke, Sheamus, who's also
maybe
Kofi.
Boogs.
Boogs. Big E is not doing anything yet, right? Mustafa Ali, is he sitting out his contract? What's happening?
Hashtag he's not wrestling. I don't think we're ever going to see him wrestle in WWE again. If they know what's good for them, just don't put him in the ring because they let him go. Free Ali. Oh my gosh. But yeah, this look, I like your sentiment, Mari. Hang it up. In other words. But yeah, like you summed it up perfectly. They realized they had a mid-card division and then they realized they had to start making some moves toward Mania and, you know, good for them.
Listen, I am intrigued by what Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn looks like.
Yeah, I'm actually excited about that. It looks very fun. Like, truly, it does. It looks very fun.
Knoxville's
like,
going to take a big... It's gonna fall off something big, right?
Like I want them to do a death match or something like that. They need to do like a street match or something. That'd be so cool. Johnny Knoxville just getting beamed in the nads with a kendo stick. You know that's what it's gonna be. You know
like
that's what it's gonna
bat
be
or something. Keep it. But here's the thing:
a jackass match.
They can't do, but they can't like. There's only so much they could do because they have to make sure he doesn't get hurt. Like, no, Johnny Knoxville would be safe.
Do you know who Johnny Knoxville is?
I was about to say,
no, but I know, but like, like WWE can't put him in a situation to take a big unsafe or riskier bump. So he's going to fall into a crash pad, pad.
Yeah,
we want that.
And Sammy is like the perfect safe worker to do that with. Yeah. Like, a safe worker who knows their way around like a street style match. This is like, I hope they do it. Like it has to be leading towards that, right? Like
I can also see Sammy being the one to take the big bump, right?
Oh,
so Johnny Knoxville will take all the like, you know, gets hit with a kendo stick. We'll do all that sort of stuff, but then like they'll set up the big fall. It's actually Sammy who takes it. Maybe Johnny Knoxville jumps on him or something. Yeah,
this would be so cool. Yeah. But again, why did we take the IC title off of Nakamura to put it on Sammy for a few weeks for
when
then Ricochet?
Did that happen?
He was celebrating his win. Yeah. So it was literally the week before. So it was 2 weeks ago.
Again, it's like the issue of like, is the belt a prop or is it like this prestigious thing, right? And sometimes WWE decides like, oh, the storyline here will be like Sammy will win the title, and then John Axel can screw him out of having
yeah.
the title, and the belt just gets passed around as a prop, so which I think people have a problem with. But, you know,
yeah, I do.
WWE's just like WWE, you know,
Sammy being like, this is the conspiracy. So it's right. just, you know,
right.
Yeah. But again, Ricochet, who, like, no disrespect to Prince Puma, but it's just kind of like,
wow.
I swear he just came back on TV 4 weeks ago, if that. So, I'll be interested to see where he goes from here.
The only reason I'm not surprised about this, I can't remember if it was a Fightful story or what, but let me just give credit to Fightful. Who knows?
Sure.
There was something about some dirt sheet story, take it for what you will, of Ricochet being listed as the number two like singles baby face currently on
SmackDown
with, like, you know, obviously, like, the New Day and Big E being considered as a group. This is the story that Ricochet is up there, which kind of, like, it kind of makes sense when you see him winning the championship here. Mm-hmm. But it is
who's
random.
Number one? I guess that is true. If I can't think
Roman
of
Roman or Brock, name. Whoever you.
Like, oh, yeah. Brock, right? Baby face.
No, maybe number one, baby face, because it's not Roman's.
Well,
not.
Maybe Brock.
Maybe Brock, I guess.
I mean, I don't know who would be. Who else? But that is kind of sad.
Drew.
Oh, Drew.
Yeah, and they did mention that. Drew's the number one baby face. And there's, again, I have no clue if that was Fightful or not. So if it was Fightful, I trust it. If it's not, take it for what you will.
Do you know what, though? This is going to sound really sick, but, like, when Ricochet, when Sami Zayn goes to, like, knock Johnny Knoxville off, and he turns around and he gets hit into the Hurricane Rana by
that was beautiful. Ricochet.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ricochet's so freaking good.
He's really good.
You know, and Sami Zayn too. You know, so yeah, it's like, I'm fine. If he's going to be, you know, I feel like SmackDown has tried this a bit of, like, I get my hopes up a bit of, like, it's going to be like the, like, a work rate title on SmackDown. But, like, boy, if they do that with Ricochet, I'll be very happy. So
yeah, exactly. So I'm just being a pessimist right now because it especially following the Raw, like, switching hands, it just doesn't feel as authentic. But I am intrigued. Like, please, just like a ladder match. I would love a ladder match. But I know I don't have that. I don't think I have this on the outline. But you guys did bring up. The New Day. Again, at this point, I'm kind of wondering if the tag belts are going to be fought over a ladder, because the Usos just seem to kind of be just spraying at will. Like, they want all of the smoke, messing with the Viking. They had a match against the Viking Raiders later that night where they beat them, and the championship was on the line. So, again, I'm kind of like, okay, then what's happening here? They, for no inexplicable reason, Rick Boogs comes out for the first time in a while with the guitar. I noticed it. I was like, give me my Rick Boogs guitar. Yeah. This is the first time in a minute. He did the Shinsuke Nakamura entrance, and then they came and beat up Shinsuke and Rick Boogs for no reason, just so Roman can come out. I don't know why did you have to beat up Shinsuke and Rick Boogs here?
Why not?
While we're also simultaneously building up Sheamus and Ridge Holland to go against the New Day, because they attacked Big E's ATV and stuff like that. So I'm like, there's kind of a lot of tag team stuff going on SmackDown in a sense. So I wonder if all of that will kind of merge together for a multi-man match or something like that. But right now, it just doesn't make sense for me for the Usos. Just they're like, we're coming for everybody, I guess.
It is,
right?
It is kind of wild how they, like, in 20, what year was it last year? 2021. In 2021, how 80 people were released, and yet, like, we're still looking at, like, 80. Okay, but you need to figure out how to use the people that you have.
Wow.
Yeah. It's they have a huge roster still. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. So I'm actually, total side note, I'm glad that people have that they've stayed employed the last several months. Like, it's good that we haven't had a wave of releases in a little while.
I mean,
especially during the show,
they could do Usos versus the New Day, but this, I feel like it's been done so many times.
It does. That's what we were talking about last week. Yeah. I'll never be over it once they're in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, once I'm watching it, I'm gonna be sucked in. But to get me
excited, I've kind of been over it.
To get me excited getting into it, probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even with the match, I'm like, what else could they do? What's new? I mean, it,
the funny thing is they have done it. Like, they have always built on themselves, I feel like.
Well, I think that they can too, but I'm just like not excited by that match anymore. Maybe because it's always the same dynamic. Like, maybe if New Day were the heels again.
I agree.
You know, it's been a while.
I was never one of those people who was like, I felt like people would always just inexplicably say, oh, the New Day needs to be heels. Like, they would always say that. And with no rhyme or reason, doesn't matter what they were doing at the time. Mm-hmm. They just always said they need to be heels. I never thought that. I do think it now. I think that this would be the perfect time to turn them heel. But that's me not even thinking about what the roster stack looks like, because if you have too many heels, then that doesn't help. But I think it's a perfect time because they could run with the whole, if they wanted to, they could run with the whole Big E, you know, not getting his push correctly. And if they wanted to, if Kofi comes back, they could do the heel dominant heel faction type thing again. But then it's like, how many of those do you want running around? Because what's going to happen to the bloodline after this Roman and Brock situation, you know? So then if we're getting Seth, is Seth and KO baby faces? Do we move New Day back over to Raw, all of them over to Raw, and have them feud with them? You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things you can do, but I think this might actually be the time where it would make sense in their character developments to be heels. Now, where does that fit on the roster? I don't know. I don't know what that would really look like. And the New Day constantly talk about on their podcast how they actually really like being heels. Like, they they truly love it, because I love that podcast, because Kofi says his favorite thing is like finding like a little kid in the audience and then berating them.
That's hilarious.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Not cool. So, no, they deserve everything they want in wrestling. Just give it to them. Give them anything. Give them the heel life if they want it. Face life. All of the championships. They're oh gosh. I mean, there's so much like that they could be doing with New Day. So that's a whole other conversation of like possibilities, because literally it's limitless. Xavier is still king, which I had to just remind myself of. So
big old crown. I don't know. I just wonder how, I mean, they can do it and they'll surprise me when they do it. I just wonder how, like, I feel like even as bad guys, they would be entertaining. And so like, will the crowd actually boo them? But I would trust that they would be able to like figure out how to make people boo them. So, yeah,
I think the crowd would do whatever. I think it's a situation where people just want to support New Day. So I think they'd get booed if they're trying. Maybe it's a goofy heel type of thing.
Yeah, because I feel like they go too serious. Like, they could, you know, if they drop all the merch, like the, like, you know, the colors and stuff, that's not really what WWE, like, they still will have merch, right? Like, Roman is a bad guy and still has, like, you know, head of the table merch, you know? So
yeah, I mean, that's the one thing why I've never wanted to call for New Day to be heels, because the people who call for New Day to be heels also call for them to stop being goofy. Right. I'm like, no, that they were at their peak when they were those goofy heels, like right when they took the titles off the primetime players and they were having that Michael Cole interview and they're like passing the championships around like in such an obnoxious, goofy way. Like, and that's whenever they talk about on their podcast, that's what Kofi means by being like that goofy, obnoxious type of heel. So that's why I don't want them to be Nation of Domination heels style. They have to continue to be themselves and be
weird. We forget that, you know, New Day sucks was how that chant started. Hated them. Yeah,
which it's a good place to start. You know, like, good to start low, and then you can only go up from there.
Exactly. So after the New Day, Let's talk about the women. So it was announced on Raw that Naomi and Sasha would get their match against Carmella and Zelina at WrestleMania, which was like, okay. Like, it was like, all right. They just kind of asked for it. Sure. Okay. They're giving it. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now we have 5 weeks to figure out what we want to do. So we get Naomi versus Carmella on SmackDown, and it was I had to remind myself that Carmella has not wrestled in a while. Carmella has not been in the ring and actively wrestled for a few months. Go back and check the tape.
No.
Yes. I think because they didn't, because they weren't at the Saudi show, right? Her and Zelina weren't at the Saudi show.
I think Grace is pulling up the stats on this.
Her last match was on January 31st.
Was that the Rumble?
No, right after the Rumble. The 2 days after the Rumble, Bianca Belair defeats Carmella.
Yes. And that was like a 2 minute match or something like that. So the match itself wasn't that great. It was really short. But the biggest thing is it just got over that, you know, Naomi and Sasha are now teaming. There's some Sasha and Zelina stuff on the and hugging and looking all cool. They got matching wigs. I love it here.
The little beads in their hair.
Yeah. The Bobos, some of us will call them the Borette. Whatever you call them, but they that's a thing.
Learning something.
Yep. And so it was very, very, very cute. We're getting Sasha versus Zelina next week, which should be a really good match.
That should be good.
Yeah, that should be pretty, pretty cool.
It is pretty awesome that Zelina's gotten as much ring time as she has since returning in June, early July last year. That's really awesome. Especially
she's gotten more
with what we saw before. More than she ever had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Easily.
We also had Natalya watching on the monitor, right?
Right.
What's happening? What's going on?
Natalya posting in front of wrestling. The monitor.
It's so funny
this is the comfortable way to watch TV.
I love when Big E is watching the TV.
Big E is all the way. He's behind
it. Basically. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah,
no, it is honestly, we should. I'm sure I've said it before, but we should really podcast like that. I don't know how that would work out, but we basically wouldn't be on screen.
So I was like, why is Natalya watching this match? What is happening? Who is she even teaming with?
No.
They said she was scouting the women of WWE. No.
Okay. But to push back, why wouldn't Natalya be watching the match? Why is this strange? Does she not like women's wrestling?
That's true.
She's not.
But why are we being made aware that Natalya is awkwardly watching the match?
That's the question.
So it does seem unfortunate. I kind of just want it to be a straight up tag team match, but it does feel like perhaps they're going to do another multi match. I don't know who does Natalya. Xia Li, maybe Shotzi is there.
Xia Li is who
she's
feuding with.
Right.
Or Aaliyah.
And that's what I'm saying. We don't even know who the SmackDown women's roster truly is. I feel like they think it's only Charlotte and Ronda at this point. So maybe
that's basically it. I basically didn't mention Sonya Deville, and that's basically the whole women's roster.
It's basically Shayna. Ooh, Shayna. Where is Shayna?
Oh, Shayna's the so problem annoying. Is though. Shayna has Shayna's not truly missing. She was there at the Rumble.
Yes. She was.
And I mean,
came at number 30, right?
Yeah, 30.
Yeah, number 30. I don't know.
They like her.
If they do, I mean, hopefully they like her.
She was involved in the Naomi Sonya Deville stuff, which I thought was really good at the beginning of the year.
They haven't done anything with Shayna and Ronda yet.
No.
Other than the Rumble, where I think they were kind of teaming up.
They were kind of teaming up. Yes. Who eliminated Shayna? I don't remember. Was it
probably Bianca? Charlotte? Charlotte eliminated so many people.
Oh, it could have been Charlotte. Yeah,
but I don't know. That's my guess. It could have been Bianca.
That's probably the great guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
It was Charlotte
eliminated five people in that at the end of the match. Choices.
Very quickly, I remember. Yeah.
Very quickly.
She eliminated Rhea, which anyways, I was free my sister from this yoke. She will never, never get the one up on Charlotte. I don't understand why they won't let this girl beat Charlotte at something. But anyways, yeah. So, but again, the good thing is we're getting Naomi, we're getting Sasha, we're getting these belts. We had Queen Zelina and Carmella do a little promo too.
Yeah.
And Zelina had her accent, had her accent in the first half. It was not there in that second half. But it, right. but the funniest thing, I was like, oh my God, I have like the dirtiest mind because like, Zelina was like, what? Zelina set Carmella up and said, oh, this is going to be the best night of the year. And then Carmella was like, oh, what, my wedding night? And then Zelina was like, no. And then Carmella said something like, she's like, just like, I think she said, just like my wedding night, I'm going to be the only one to glow or something to that effect. And I was like, wait, what? Like,
all right.
I mean, good for you.
Yeah. No,
I did not think that was what she said. I did not.
I didn't need the information, any information. I see where you're coming from, Mari.
Yes. I really was like, wait, that doesn't even make sense in the context of what we're talking about right now. Like, what is happening? I straight up looked at my husband.
We got confused. I think you were picking up what she was putting down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was. It was just awkward because, of course, as a reminder, if Carmella and Zelina win, we're getting a live sex celebration or something like that, right?
Oh.
I think that's what they said like a few weeks ago or something. Grace, what? Is that ring bell?
That sounds familiar. Yeah,
something like that. I've pushed it out of my mind. They of course have been trying.
What did they actually say?
They've had
their TV about- show, right?
Yeah, they've been trying to promote the Corey and Carmella TV show that dropped on YouTube this week.
YouTube show. Let's,
yeah, the YouTube show. Yeah.
Let's.
Lita is somebody who I could see popping back up before Rose. It feels like they could, you know, she had the match at Elimination Chamber, but could see her doing something at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Who even knows anymore?
Exactly that. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just want Sasha and Naomi to win.
Yeah, I just want them to be have the tag team titles by the end of WrestleMania
see
weekend.
What happened.
Yeah.
I also like what if Natalya is scouting out the division or whatever, and what if Bayley comes back? Like, what if this is just all an elaborate ruse for Bayley to come back?
When is she expected back?
As far as I keep hearing that she's healthy or something. Why are you shaking your head, Matt? I didn't even tell you what my elaborate plan is. That
sure, WWE I know. I just don't even like it. What's your elaborate plan?
What if Bayley comes back, teams with Natalya, they turn into a multi-person match, and then just like halfway through the match, like we get like Sasha and Bayley end up tagging again together, and what? They like somehow think that it's they won the belts together, and then we get the heel golden role models again, and then Naomi feels like, why Sasha, why? And then so then Cameron comes back, and it's Naomi and Cameron versus role models for long term storytelling. Like, that would be
truly fantasy booking.
I don't know how, like, that was a long way around, like, from the Nat, because I don't know why Natalya needs to be involved.
The other person,
I don't know either. They showed her standing in the monitor.
So I did see. I saw. So Bayley apparently, like, when she was injured, it seemed like the time frame would put her back. She could return WrestleMania. So that makes sense. The other person who could come back is Asuka. Is apparently fully ready to return, and they're just waiting for the right moment. So
I just saw something else. Again, look, I need to pull up my stories when I'm going to reference them.
But from Fightful?
Yeah, Asuka's. Yeah, let's say from Fightful. I'll just give Fightful credit for everything. Go subscribe to Fightful Select and all that business. But anyway, I think they thought Asuka was ready, and she's not ready from what they said.
Oh, really?
So I don't think Asuka's coming.
Nobody's ready for Asuka?
Nobody. Asuka's not ready for Asuka, apparently.
Asuka's not ready for her.
Yeah, but okay, like, I don't know. I don't know if I need what's her face Bayley to come back before Bayley. Mania.
Yeah, I don't either. I truly don't either, but I just want her back. And I love the Sasha and Naomi team, but it's almost again, it's also like KO too. It's like,
right. I don't trust you.
Yeah, I know. Like, is Sasha going to turn out Naomi? Like, Yeah. You know,
the fear. Yeah.
I'm just a big Golden Role Models fan. So that's what I'm kind of looking forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. So
do we have like a picture? We have another picture of Queen Zelina or Carmella.
I just have the picture of Sasha and Naomi hugging, which is kind of like the peak situation here. But yeah, you know what? I feel like kind of overwhelmed this week in talking about like all of the possibilities because we have gotten so little in terms of what's actually
happening. Yeah. So either way, they also just look so like joyous together. I love that. I love that for us. I love that for them.
Setting you up to be Murray. Yeah.
Naomi's gonna get her ass kicked. Like Sasha's about to beat her down.
I mean, a Sasha Naomi, like a long term Sasha Naomi feud would be fun.
It would be because they never got their chance at 15 Bad broke up.
I mean, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Vince McMahon is listening.
I'm really, and then we have to really think about like after Charlotte and Ronda square up, which God, look at me in these tangents. But after Ronda and Charlotte square up, what happens then? Because I'm assuming personally that Ronda's going to win here, right?
Yes.
So then who is she fighting? Keep my sister Sasha in the tag division,
Naomi.
Please. Because
I think that she will do she was doing this before a lot where just, wrestler of the month,
She was doing wrestler of the month for a while.
You know what? Yeah. I want that. I want that for, well, not wrestler of the month necessarily, but I do want Ronda to take the championship.
The Ronda versus Shayna could be a good match after.
Yeah, that would be fun. I could see that.
I don't know if it's likely.
The thing that was like frustrating, I think, about the Ronda stuff is that they like booked her the same way, similar to like when Brock was tough for a bit. We're like, remember the Ruby Riott match where we're like, okay, it's Ruby Riott's going to get a title match at a pay per view. How fun! And the match was like 2 minutes, and she like gets locked in an armbar, and that's it. Like, yeah. I hope give me more than that.
Then the next night they had an actual match. Do you remember that? Oh my god!
Yeah.
It was like pretty good too. Ugh, annoying.
So stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, So good on Sasha and Naomi. Next week we're getting Sasha and Zelina. Again, I didn't want to include this, but it's kind of up our alley here. Ronda went against Sonya Deville. That match, they still were ringing the bell at 9:51. I'm like, there's no point in me watching this match. I know exactly what's going to happen. It was all of 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I think Charlotte even walked out at 9:52. Match is nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing of it all is, again, does Charlotte and Ronda are being painted as Ronda wants to be the first person to make Charlotte tap out. If you don't get that bull crap out of here, I was so incredibly upset. Like, please, WWE, I am not stupid. Do not treat me like I'm stupid. We all know that Charlotte has tapped out before. All you have to say is, I want to be the first person to make Charlotte tap at WrestleMania. Two more words there.
No. Maybe Ronda forgot her line.
Yeah, that's likely. That's highly likely.
Nope.
Ronda forgot her word. Go to WWE's
Twitter. They said it too. And I'm like, y'all are tripping. Y'all are bugging
I think that there's no way there's no way they're going to stick with that because it's not true.
They like to rewrite history all the time. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, this is like the history of wrestling, right? Like Andre the Giant has never been body slammed and he's never lost a match ever. Like, I mean, he hasn't. Yeah, you know,
even so. Yeah.
To this day, he has not been body slammed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's just stupid to me, though.
Built off a con, you know, it's from the carnival days, you know?
Yeah, we're watching pro wrestling, Mari. What do you think we're watching? Come on.
No, I get the frustration, but I don't know.
I'm with you on that. But I don't know. I just don't understand, because like in today's day and age, they really can't get away with stuff like that as often as they used to.
Gotcha. But they kind of can, right? They just can, right? They could just do it.
I mean,
right?
They could do whatever they want, right? Which is the other side of things, right? I don't know if they get away with it, but they just keep doing what they're doing.
And oh, they're gonna make so much money.
I'm so mad right now.
They keep getting away with it.
Especially since I don't give Charlotte credit for a lot of things. We know this. The one thing that I will give Charlotte credit for is the way she taps out to the bank statement. I don't know if I said it on here before, but I think she is one of the main people who sells the bank statement very well. She might not sell a lot of stuff, but she does sell the bank statement, and the way she taps to the bank statement has always been amazing. So just rewriting history to get
every time,
every single time. Even when she hasn't even tapped yet, I really do like how she sells the bank statement. But so rewriting history, so Sasha's out of it. That's annoying. But then Becky Lynch is right there too. Becky has made Sasha tap before. I'm so confused.
Yeah, but is it above, they need to call it out. I mean, because it would be great if Charlotte just lied and they acknowledged that she was lying and she just committed to the bit.
I just don't see why make up a stat when you have a stat. You know what I'm saying? Charlotte has never lost in a WrestleMania one-on-one situation, right?
I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that somehow they actually believe that Charlotte never tapped out.
There's no...
I would never make her.
I was just hired last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte wasn't at WrestleMania last year, right? Yeah, that's so right. As far as I know, Charlotte has never lost in a one-on-one situation, and her only loss at WrestleMania right now is still just the Becky Ronda and her of it all. When she's never been pinned at WrestleMania. She's never been submitted at WrestleMania. Why don't we just say that? It's right there. You're already saying half the sentence. Just add.
Oh, Mari.
Well, yep.
That's wrestling.
That's perfect for that. So that's basically all we have from SmackDown this week. Mm-hmm. The only thing I kind of just want to quickly just lightly tap is that Carmelo Hayes went against Pete Dunne for a North American Championship match on NXT 2.0. And it just fits with the theme of the mid-card champions because, I mean, Carmelo Hayes, this run with the North American Championship is just absolutely phenomenal. He truly is putting on banger after banger of matches, of course, with Pete Dunne. I mean, I feel like that doesn't need to be said, that the both of them are really good workers here. And while Braun Breaker is in tag matches right now, you know what I'm saying? Carmelo is saying that he wants to be the A champion, he is not. He truly is not messing around when he says that. And I think he already said that. I think he already announced that he will be defending his North American
championship in a ladder match.
So if he gets the ladder match there, then maybe WrestleMania won't get a ladder
match. They could do whatever they want. They could have, it's not again, I'm sure that we've seen them do a stipulation on the, what was probably then TakeOver, and then stipulation on the actual pay-per-view card. They could do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's
true. They should. It is. You know what? I really do miss the WrestleMania ladder matches. It was smart when we had money in the bank.
Yeah, it truly made it feel very special. And I blame the people who would always complain, it was used to get as many people on the card as possible. I was okay with that. I was perfectly fine with it. And most people were like, oh, no, but you got to get on the match. You got to deserve it. You shouldn't just be putting everybody on it. And then instead of getting a really nice, well laid out ladder match, we then got the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And then they literally just put everybody on the card.
And I mean, it's good that people are booked, at a minimum. That's good. Actually, and you know, it would be nice if they had a battle royal just for everyone else to have something to do and get paid. Actually, you know what? I don't even know if they get paydays anymore for the pay-per-views. I don't think they do. I don't know.
Well, it's still gate money. They're still, they still have gate money or something like
that. Well, I don't even know anymore if that's a thing. Still a thing.
Still a thing. Well,
who knows?
Either way, they need to do something, because I would much rather watch a battle royal than Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. Like, that is just not I feel bad saying it, but it's not a big match to me, even though they're trying to make it a big match. It doesn't feel a big match. Even though Drew is insanely over, Corbin being his challenger just doesn't feel at the same level here.
They're trying something there. But it's just like Drew also hasn't had momentum, like in a Finn sort of way.
But that's, you know, that's a funny thing. He hasn't had momentum, but he's still over with the crowd.
Yeah,
the crowd loves him.
Feels like he's in a holding pattern until post WrestleMania.
Yeah, right. And then
what happens with Brock and Roman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's weird. I mean, because it seemed like he did have some time off, and then he was back at the Rumble, and then we've seen him since then. So,
Same.
Right. So, I wonder if this is it for Pete. Like, I feel like a run through to Stand and Deliver, and then if Pete Dunne finally makes it the main roster, I would very much.
I really like Pete Dunne on the main roster.
Yeah, I just feel like they've never really he's never really been in the position to like make the, you know, win the title in NXT, but I feel like at some point you just move him up, right?
I think
he's so good. Yeah. He is so good. And you know what? I think that I just love that. I don't know. I was looking at this match and looking at Carmelo and kind of wondering, like, he's so good, but obviously he still has to like sharpen things up in some ways. But it's hard to kind of see where he has to grow. And so I like that he's able to work. I mean, I probably said this a few weeks ago. I like when anyone's able to work with Pete Dunne, just to kind of sharpen up on things. Will we actually get him on the main roster? Who knows? But good for Carmelo. This was a strong match. Strong showing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's just take a quick break and then we'll go into some AEW.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So, big announcement aside, AEW is having their Revolution pay-per-view this weekend. It'll probably be happening right around the time this comes out or something to that effect. So, we're not going to do like a big old preview podcast, but what matches are we looking forward to? Grace, I always love putting you on the spot. You are our AEW correspondent. What matches are you looking forward to? For this pay-per-view,
CM Punk versus MJF.
What is a dog collar match? Like, what is that?
It's tied around their neck. They're chained together.
Yeah. Okay, it's just like a strap match then, but just
a strap. Yeah, but with a chain. Yeah,
or like I don't know
if you watched this week, like. MJF after last week has the like the promo of Lifetime, I would say, and then this week CM Punk comes out and is just like, listen, I was a bad dude again. I was a little like talking about all your WWE stuff, but whatever. He's like, you know, I did some bad stuff. I was a bad guy and look like I'm, you know. And MJF like comes out and like pretends to hug him, and then he
kicks him. But then, like, boy, CM Punk bleeds buckets here. And, like, mm-hmm. part of me is like, ooh, save that for the pay-per-view, you know? Like, save, yeah. but, like, it is this, like, the image of, yeah. like, CM Punk being, like, the dog collar over the top rope, Sean Spears holding it, MJF, like, yelling in his face is, like, gosh, it's really good stuff. It's like, and I felt like this feud has gone on a little while. They've been in sort of like, yeah, they've clearly been saving it for like a pay-per-view yeah. rather than one of their like TV specials. Mm-hmm. So it's felt rather drawn out. But I do think the thing is, I think this is like, this is the match and then they will move on to other things. I mean, they've drawn stuff out before. Certainly the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle went on for a very long time. Yeah. But yeah. So I'm very excited for that match.
Yeah. And it still seems like MJF is working heel and
100%.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, no, I'm just saying, because last week we were doing a lot of speculating on that.
Yeah, and I think we kind of like, I don't know. I'm just glad that he's still a heel. It is you know, something that we haven't probably talked about here, maybe at all, is the fact that when WWE has their specials, or even when they've had quote unquote pay-per-views in recent years, like with the network and now with Peacock, you're not spending $50 to watch the show. And with AEW, you have to mm-hmm. spend that money. And so I do feel like there has to be, I haven't really thought about this much, but there definitely has to be a different approach to how they build it, how they book it. Because with WWE, it's like, well, you're only paying $9.99 per month, so we're going to give you what we give you. Whereas AEW really needs to convince people to spend their $50. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I don't know. I'm glad that they kind of gave us this big moment and just bloody CM Punk in the show, like disturbingly bloody, just because then the question is, what could they do from here? Where could they go from here? I'm excited about that. But back to your initial question, Mari, of like, mm-hmm. what are we looking forward to? I mean, in a weird way, for me, I'm not really looking forward to this match, but I just want to say I've really enjoyed what they're like. I've enjoyed Hook, not even what they're doing with Hook, but I've just enjoyed Hook.
He is the bomb.
He's so good. I remember his debut match. I think my jaw was on the floor watching that. And that was only 3 months ago.
It's everything. It's the, I mean, talking about entrance music, his entrance, yeah. it's like this, like classic music. And then like, kicks into the actual entrance music, and then he's just like everything about it. It should not work, but it works so well. He's just like, this hair is like messy and cool, and
he needs
like shorts. He does need a comb. I retweeted a little while ago this thing of like, you look at like Taz. Yeah, is Taz. Yeah. And it's like it's a picture opposite. Of Taz. He's like, look at my beautiful son Hook. Like, look at that. It's like a picture of the Hook. I don't know why it works. And yeah, he's like wrestling QT Marshall. Not a match I should be excited about, but I'm excited about Hook. I don't know how he has the best selling shirt on AEW, and it's just the letters Hook on a white t-shirt. Wow. I don't understand.
Yeah, he's so over. Yeah,
I'm excited to see where his career goes. But like in terms of matches, it's a similar thing. I love Jade Cargill. Like everything they've done with her is great. I don't know if there's like a match other than the MJF CM Punk one that I'm most excited for. I mean, maybe Mox and
I was about to say Danielson. Right? Yeah.
I'm more excited for Hook and Jade, to be honest. Like
big little the ladder match coming.
I was just about to say the ladder match. Yeah. So like, you know, Keith Lee, is he taking over here? Ricky Starks.
Marty's favorite powerhouse Hobbs. Everyone's favorite. No?
It feels like a Keith Lee win. No. Or, I mean, they added Christian Cage to this match. I think it's hilarious that he's the face of the revolution. It's Christian Cage. But
Christian Cage. So, he's officially
a revolution.
Added, right?
American revolution. Or maybe a Canadian revolution.
So there's no mystery.
Yeah. No mystery. And then I think, I could see this as it's fuel for the Wardlow face turn. I could see him winning because, like, MJF has been saying, like, you're hired by me. You're like, you do what I want. Like, you're nothing without me. So Wardlow then winning the face of the revolution ladder match.
Yeah, I actually.
little fire there.
I didn't see the bets, but people were talking about the bets on this match, and it's basically kind of like all even. Like a lot of these people could actually win that match, like Ricky Starks, Keith.
They love Ricky Starks. He commentates on Rampage every week. Like they love that guy. Powerhouse Hobbs. Mm-hmm. It seems like Orange Cassidy, obviously, like would not be surprising for me to see win. So
yeah. Ricky and Keith kind of had a little thing, like a backstage thing too. Yeah. So
I kind of feel like that, and that's it's kind of like that's the reason to like. Why neither of them will win,
take
each other out so that they can set up a story. And I mean, it really does feel like this is like to boost Wardlow's resume. So that when he turns on MJF, it feels so much like Batista Triple H, like 2004, whenever that happened, 2005. It feels like that's coming. And I think like, I don't know what longevity Wardlow has, but the moment like, MJF, I think, will have the powers that the Miz had. We're like, remember Alex Riley? Remember how excited we were about Alex Riley for a minute? Like Damian Mizdow. Like when you turn on the Miz, when you turn on MJF, it will be a big moment for you. It's just whether they can like capitalize on that. I mean, the main event should be Adam Page versus Adam Cole. Should be very, very like technically good. I do not think that this is like Adam Cole is being. Will be crowned champion, will be very fun. He has sort of an undefeated streak heading into this match. I think Adam Page will break it. I'm not sure where they go with Page after this match. I'm not sure who. I kind of could see the winner of Moxley Danielson being set up as the challenger.
The next one?
I don't know.
And then
I'm
just like, I'm even just looking at the card otherwise at like this Britt and Thunder Rosa match, which we haven't even touched on. Even as big women's wrestling fans, but I'm curious about just what we're thinking about that one.
I think Thunder Rosa needs the win. They have a ton of history, right? So they were in the Lights Out match that sort of like Thunder Rosa won. The thing has kind of been similar to what they did with Britt Baker and Riho when Riho challenged Britt at Battle of the Belts was like, you know, there is this person who's like kind of had your number, kind of beat you in like these, like you might have come out of the match with like the bigger, like you were the memorable person on that, but you didn't win that match, you know? So I do think they really like Britt Baker. There's been this thing. I don't know if you, like they talked about there were originally the four pillars of AEW, which are like the young stars who are the up and comers, which are Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, MJF. And I am missing some. Darby Allin. And then when CM Punk was feuding them, like when he earlier in the feud was saying, like, you're not the fourth pillar. Britt Baker is the fourth pillar. There's kind of this joke that there are five pillars, including Britt Baker. They love Britt Baker. I could see them wanting like her to have a very long run. But I also could feel like Thunder Rosa defeating Britt Baker could be the launching point for to really give Thunder Rosa some momentum. She's really popular. She's really great.
Definitely.
So set her up on her on a trajectory. Whereas Britt Baker, like she's great, and it makes sense that the title's on her. I also don't know how much she needs the title, if that makes sense. So
yeah, that makes sense. And then she's already had it for a minute now, right?
She's had it for a little while.
Feels like it's been at least a year, but I don't think it's been that much at all. But
we'll see. Yeah,
yeah. That I guess that could go either way. Yeah, I like
it for almost a year. She won it in May of last year.
So. Okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't sure, but it feels like it does feel good that they're kind of teasing that, you know, all of the former Undisputed Era Paragon, whatever the Undisputed Originals. I don't know what they're going by.
I don't think they're going by Paradigm. We thought they were going to go by Paradigm. They have not been going by Paradigm.
So, on the AEW YouTube, they're calling them the Undisputed Originals.
Okay. Very creative. Well,
sure.
I don't know. Why not just Undisputed? Like, it's not, can they trademark that?
No, they must not be able to. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird that they didn't even need to reference that.
Yeah, this is true. I agree. They don't need to reference it at all, but.
I'm kind of annoyed. The match, this triple threat tag team match should be really good. It's Jungle Boy Luchasaurus defending against Red Dragon and the Young Bucks. Red Dragon like cost the Young Bucks a match and then helped them win the Battle Royal, the Casino Battle Royal this past week. Kind of feels like I feel kind of bad for Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and that this match feels like it's all going to be story for the inevitable breakdown of the elite, this and like the super click stuff. So it feels a little like, you know, I kind of want Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus to get their own story at some point, but I do think they retain. I'm not super interested in like one of those two teams, the other two teams winning, and then it being the story about that. You look at like that Casino Battle Royale, there's so many teams in AEW. There's so much potential for some title feuds that like I feel like I really don't want their feud, the Jungle Boy Luchasaurus title reign, to end at the hands of like this other storyline.
I think that at least from what we've seen with AEW's booking, I think they're smart enough to not transition championships without there being a reason or benefit. Because I mean, the reality is with wrestling booking, you could book it in a way where it's not, you know, where everyone comes out better in some kind of sense. But the only thing
I would argue is like the Cody TNT title stuff at the, like about around the Battle of the Belt stuff, where he beat Sammy Guevara, had beaten Miro, who Miro's like not even on this card. Like the roster is like so full right now. Sammy Guevara beat Miro, and then Cody beat Sammy, and then at Battle of the Belts, he had to drop out. So Sammy won the interim. My worry with AEW a little bit is that they do at times feel like they want to placate, rightfully so, to the people who like started the company with them, with Tony, right? So this does feel like, can I see the Young Bucks winning the title? Yeah, absolutely. They could win the title here, you know, and I would not be surprised. Yeah. FTR joked. Did you see this? FTR joked that if they lost the Casino Battle Royale, they were going to retire. And so then Dax, after the match, someone was like, well, what happens now? He's like, yeah, we're retired. One of Cash Wheeler's like real life people had to be like, are you guys retired? Are you guys leaving? Are you unhappy? And he's like, no, it was just a bit. Like, you're just
retired.
Like, Dax is just like totally kayfabe, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure somebody has to know what their contracts are looking like somewhere.
I think they're fine. I think it was all just a bit.
Were they considered the originals? No, they weren't. So they should still have a few years left on their
contract. Yeah. They came in a little bit later.
A little bit like a little later. Yeah.
They're also still the AAA champions. Like, they're fine.
Why are they still the AAA champions?
Because so they can wrestle Mexico. Yeah.
You know,
the forbidden door, Mari. Yeah.
Why are you gonna hate?
Who's in AAA? Like, if I'm in AAA, I'm pissed because my titles are in the US.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way. Yeah. So that's good. That's a lot of people. That's a strong.
I know we didn't touch Matt Hardy is teaming with Andre El Idolo and Isaiah Cassidy take on Sting, Darby Allin, and Sammy Guevara. Mm-hmm. Eric Rowan debuted on Rampage last night. The other day, it will be joining Penta and Pac to take on the House of Black. So, and that's like apparently on the pre-show. Like their roster is like full to the brim at the moment. So, yeah.
Wow. So that should be a good AEW Revolution. Oh. Bring it back up, please, Matt. The AEW Revolution pay-per-view. Sunday, March 6th at 8 p.m. pay-per-view.
Yes, like, live on pay-per-view.
Did they start moving to Sundays again?
I think it's whatever they can get the arena. I think.
Oh, yeah.
They don't really care whether it's. They like the Saturday pay-per-view. I love the Saturday pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Hate staying up late on Sunday nights. But, you know, I think it's just whatever they can get the stadium.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Nobody does, because the Royal Rumble was on a Saturday this year. So I don't know. The whole world.
It does not make it.
Yeah. People just doing whatever they want.
Get in where you fit in.
Don't you know I'm a Virgo and I love consistency, wrestling executives? Come on.
Okay. Come on. The Taurus in me is just like.
I mean, same.
Let's get the. All right. That's it for the highlights of the week. All the highlights that we talked about could be found in our playlist in either our show notes or the description. Go follow along or just listen to us talk about them. This was great talking about AEW. Thank you so much, Grace, for talking about AEW with us.
Thanks
before we go, we want to do Rapid fire questions.
It's like the same sound drop. So
I know. I mean,
honestly, it's a great soundboard, Mari.
Yeah, thank you. So, Grace, this is where we will just I will just be like lobbing wrestling questions at you. I want you to answer them as quickly as possible. Don't worry, they're not like facts or anything like that. They're your own personal preferences.
Yeah, and they better be right. You better be right.
your opinion better be like everybody else's opinion.
Okay.
Confirm. All right.
Yes.
Or you're getting dragged at buy from Grace. It's more like it.
Oh, no.
Buy from that's so messed up. I'm like, I don't know if I should put like a 2-minute timer or something like this, or I just
I'll do my there's own. A clock. There's a clock. Yeah.
Let's
I'll look at the time.
Yeah, and it's not again. It's not a like a test or anything. It's just I'm gonna ask you questions. All right.
Okay.
Your opinion.
Ready? Of your opinion, yes.
Which better
is this? Just me or Matt? Is Matt playing too?
No, it's just you. No, we're getting it's a way. It's a way for the wrestling fans to get to know you more.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. So,
ready? Who is your favorite wrestler? Who's your favorite male wrestler?
Right
of
now?
All time. Of all time.
Bret the Hitman Hart, baby.
Okay. Yeah. Who's your favorite women's wrestler of all time?
Trish. Stress. Canadians.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should. Who was your favorite superstar in the Ruthless Aggression era?
Oh, probably Batista.
Rene Dupree.
Oh. Yeah, Rene Dupree, the French tickler. Yeah.
La Resistance.
Yeah, I love Batista. Yeah.
Who's your favorite all time tag team?
Ooh, maybe the Legion of Doom, probably. Yeah, I love Legion of Doom. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, if you can do this, what was your favorite pay-per-view, like, ever?
Well, WrestleMania 30 certainly is very memorable to me. So I'll go with WrestleMania 30. I think it's probably my most memorable pay-per-view. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Team Raw or Team SmackDown?
SmackDown was always, like, the work rate show, you know, like all the indie wrestlers. So I'll take SmackDown, yeah.
Okay. Eric Bischoff or Vince McMahon?
I don't want to be on Team Vince McMahon. So I got to say Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff does a lot. He invented a lot of stuff that like still they do on TV. So I'll give Eric Bischoff some credit.
Yeah. Monday Night Wars, WWE, WCW.
Oh, that's WWE every day, even though I just said Eric Bischoff. We didn't really get WCW in Canada really that much. It was on another channel. So yeah.
Rock or Stone Cold?
Stone Cold. Stone Cold's okay. Awesome. Yeah.
And finally, who's your favorite horsewoman?
Bailey, for sure.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Marina Shafir.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Stop it.
Marina Shafir.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Grace, for answering our rapid fire questions. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, not by from Grace. I'm high from Grace. I'm also on twitch.tv/high from Grace. I'm doing a lot of stuff over on post show recaps. Euphoria, Winning Time, a show about the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1980s, comes out soon. So we'll be covering that. Movie coverage, Raised by Wolves, lots, so many things. Here on Rob Has a Podcast on this network, we are on a little bit of a hiatus from the sports show that I did, but we'll be back. And I'll tease here for the first time ever that we are tweaking the format a bit. So I'm very excited to return in a few weeks. I think next week, actually, we'll have the first episode of our new formatted show. So look out for that in the reality TV wrap ups feed. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at us breaking news and all of that.
Breaking news.
Man. Yeah.
Matt, where can the people find you?
The people can find me at Matt Scott GW. That's just Matt Scott GW. Don't need to add that whole app before it on the platforms. But you know what? Where could you find me this week? So one is that I actually am guesting on the Brazilian Dragon podcast with Felipe talking about Harriet the Spy. What a movie. It came out 25 plus years ago. And so we had a lot to dive into. That was like a 2.5-hour podcast, which clearly I'm used to because wrestling wrap up. But also you could find me talking about or talking with the one and only Wendell Holland, winner of Survivor Ghost Island. He was on Survivor Winners at War. He's on HGTV and just kind of going up and blowing up over on Pod Friends. Well, if you love HGTV, you should love Wendell because hopefully he's going to be on it more and more and more, but had a great conversation for Pod Friends with him, the Pod Friends season finale. And so check that out. That should be, that will be up Sunday night, probably around the time of AEW Revolution, in case you just want to do something a little bit different with your time. Check that out. Super fun. And yeah, I mean, you can find me on the Wrestling Wrap Up, but more broadly, Amari mentioned the live show happening for Know It Alls, the live Know It Alls show on RHAP in May. So you can also find me in person there. But I think that's what I've got. Mari, where could the people find you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Every week here on the Wrestling Wrap Up with my great friend Matt Scott and wonderful guests like Grace Leader. And then I am working on a few things with post-show recaps. More to come. And something with RHAP. So hopefully I'll be able to announce next week. And I was just on the Euphoria season finale with Grace this week. So check out Euphoria if you haven't already. They do great coverage over there. I was so happy to be there on for the really interesting season finale. Just follow me on Twitter to see what I'll be up to. Other than that, just remember you can please rate, review, and subscribe to the Wrestling Wrap Up or to the RJP Reality TV Wrap Up feed. Email us wrestling@robhasawebsite.com with any long form questions, and please follow us on Twitter at Wrestling Wrap Up. Other than that, remember, wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everybody. Bye, everyone.
Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Murray. Wrestling Lover Hap Up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, rush it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Murray. Wrestling Lover Hap Up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.